Downhill All the Way, written by Edward Enfield and read by Bill Wallace.
To my wife, who never objects to my absence. One of the pleasantest things in the world is going a journey, but I like to go by myself. William Hazlitt, On Going a Journey, 1822. Introduction by Harry Enfield. There is a condition known as second childhood, which some old people enter in their twilight years shortly before popping off. My father is not there yet, but he is hurtling towards it at alarming speed. Since retiring, he has entered a sort of second teenagerhood. When I was a teenager, I began to take an interest in girls, sulked in my room a lot, and went on cycling holidays with my friend Philip Spain. Dad displays all these characteristics. At a recent lunch in London for 100 or so old bores, to which he was naturally invited, I had the misfortune to witness a sad display of flirtation. "Would you like to go into lunch now?" a young woman responsible for ushering inquired.
"You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen," replied my father.
"Thank you. Go into lunch, please," the young woman said, patiently but firmly. Dad turned to obey and caught the eye of another woman.
"Hello, I'm Joanna, and I'm an actress," said Joanna, who is an actress.
"You're the most beautiful woman in the world," said Dad, oblivious of the young usher still standing next to him. He spotted a blonde, barging between the most beautiful woman in the world and the most beautiful woman he has ever seen. He launched himself at his victim.
"You have the most beautiful," he began, but I seized and frog-marched the old man into lunch and plonked him down next to Sue Townsend, who, as the author of The Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13 3/4, knows how to handle males at this stage of their development. Flirting has become a major preoccupation, and he has started making trips up to London purely for this purpose. Recently I had to ring the editor of The Oldie magazine, for whom my father writes a column. A young woman answered the phone.
"Your father was in yesterday," she said.
"Oh dear. What was he doing?" I inquired.
"Oh, he just came in to muck about to cheer all us girls up. He's delicious."
No one describes my father as delicious.
"No, he is not," I bellowed. "I am delicious. He is old and bald."
When not out on flirting expeditions, Dad spends most of his days sulking in his room. When we were children, there was no space for him to have a private sulk room, so he used to have to sulk off to walk the dog, scowl off to the drawing room where there was no television and therefore no children, and grump around the garden. He would go anywhere and think of any excuse to get away from us. Now we have all pushed off, you would think he'd have the run of the house, but unfortunately there is still the problem of my mother, who has the irritating mental condition known as liberophilia, or being fond of one's children. This involves her wishing on occasion to discuss us, how we are getting on, how wonderful, kind, generous, good-looking and talented we are, all of which Dad finds intolerable. He has taken one of our old bedrooms as a study, into which he barricades himself from morning to night with plenty of old books, written by grumpy people about how horrid life is, venturing out only at lunchtimes to snatch a cheese sandwich off the kitchen table, like a wild beast demented by starvation, and scurry back to his lair. As I have mentioned, when I was a teenager, I used to go on cycling holidays with my friend Philip Spain. Dad has recently discovered the same means of escape from the family home, although he chooses to go on his own, claiming that he is quite happy with his own company and does not need to take a friend. This claim strikes us as pretty hollow, a much more obvious reason for his solitude being that he has no friends. Perhaps, however, he is nearer to second childhood than we thought and takes an imaginary friend.